Well, you know, my name is Micheline. I hope you pronounce it well, or else you'll have big problem with me. And my husband's name is Gamal. Easy name. Well, we will talk about suffering for the sake of the gospel. And we wanted to start by a story of torture or a story of suffering. But always when we start to talk about Jesus, we see that he is always the conqueror. He is the one. He is the last word in the story. So we were sitting in lunchtime and we told our friends a new story. We told Lincoln a new story that he didn't hear it before. So he said, you should tell them this story. So we will start now by this story, and it was not prepared. The story is, we distributed a lot of Bibles in our country, in Syria, a lot of Josh McDowell's books. We shared the gospel with so many people, and we were feeling that there is something still missing. What? It was to arrive to the president himself. You know, the problem with the president, the former president, that he's a dictator, he's like a communist, and no one can arrive to him, but he is a human being, and we said we need to give him Jesus before he kills us, you know. Just tell him about Jesus before he knows about us and kill us. So let's say something. It's a true story, by the way. I told you in the morning, we're crazy. Anyway, and we said we need to arrive to Bashar al-Assad, this scary name that was all over the world. But how to? We don't have any means except this guy who is the secret police guy who has big mustache and always interrogating Gamal for 8 hours and all of this. So he's the only link between us and the palace. So let's use him. He's an asset. At least he exists still. And we told him, we have a vision to arrive to the president. Let him know that Jesus loves Syria. The only street that is mentioned in the Bible that is still there till today is the straight street. And Jesus mentioned this in the Bible. So Jesus that much loves your country. We want to tell the president another thing. People are saying they send terrorists from Syria to Iraq to blow themselves. No, this is not true. Terrorists come to Syria and become saints, like Paul. He was coming to Damascus to kill the Christian. He was a terrorist and he became saint on the road to Damascus. But now we need to do a film. And we don't have money. And we're crazy, remember? So Gamal, this Gamal, my husband, we, from the first time I saw him, I was in love with him. This is not the story. Thank you. We will not talk about marriage now. We will talk about persecution. Anyway, let's come back to the subject. People who did not come to this session, they will regret, you know that. Anyway, so we arrived that we need money, okay? We don't have a penny, okay? It's easy. Gamal gathered all the Christian background, very famous actors, and told them, I have a vision to do a film, international film, about the relationship between Paul and Damascus, on the road to Damascus, and how Jesus showed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus and give it to the president. You'll be known, but I don't have money to pay you. They said, no, we won't do it. We need millions. So what should we do as crazy? We gathered all Muslim background, very famous actors. There were about 110 actors, and we told them the same story. We want to give this as a gift to the president. Would you do it with no money? They said, yes, we will do it. And we did the film in 10 days. very little amount of money for the shooting and, you know, the cameras and all of this. All of them were Muslim background. We were the only Christians with the writer. And we said, we're not Hollywood people anyway. If this film fails, 110 people will read about the Bible at least, you know, and we will share the gospel with 110 if we failed. And we did the film, and the first version, Gamal wrote a letter and sent it to the president. I will be brief. And after 2 weeks, he had a phone call from the palace. Hello, is this Dr. Gamal Makar? He said, yes. I'm calling from the palace. He said, yes. What happened? We will be killed now or what? She said, well, I'm talking on behalf of the president. He said, yes. Okay. And she said, the president saw the film. He liked it so much. And he insists on doing it, the opening in the opera house. And 1,350 from all embassies, all around Syria. I'm talking China, Saudi Arabia, Russia. I'm talking Thailand, all embassies. Came to the opera. If a dictator invites you, who would dare not to come? And they came, and we have 1,350 in the opera house, and we did the opening. And then who heard about it? The Pope invited us to the Vatican, and we did this opening in the Vatican. And who are we? We are nothing. Me and Gamal, we have nothing. We are nothing. But as much as you put yourself as a zero and keep this one next to you, who is Jesus, shining, you'll be 100,000 and a million. Now, in the media, we're very famous, but we know that we are nothing without Jesus. We will show to you just a small trailer of 4 minutes about this film, and then we will continue what was planned from before. Praise the Lord. You know, here you have the stamp of the Vatican on it, and they said it's the most accurate film, really. From the main places in Damascus, the same places in Damascus. But I want you to think with me. Forget about the film and forget about the president. And, you know, history is always his story with a capital H. Everything turns for the good, for the people who wants to obey the Lord, who wants to love the Lord. Forget about that. Whom he is using, he used and still using and will use weak people. Don't say, I have nothing. I'm persecuted. Syria is closed. The Middle East is closed. China is closed. Thailand, don't say that. It's not your problem. Your problem is for you to go. And this is what we experienced since day one in university when we became believers and followers of Christ. Just follow him. Sometimes we had very good stories, and sometimes we had very bad stories in our sight, in our mentality. But everything turned for the good. Let me tell you the story of Yusuf. And this Yusuf, who is Joseph, this Yusuf, who is a Syrian person, who used to live in a place called Malula, a place where they talk till today the Aramaic language, the language of Jesus, okay, Aramaic. And this Yusuf was a very devoted Christian, but so much attached to the history, the stones, the cross, the material Christian mentality. We are the people of the cross, and no one can enter our area. We're the historical church. We're the history of Christianity. Yes, they are. But the Lord allowed persecutors and mostly ISIS people during the war to enter this village. And Yusuf was there for years. Since the beginning of Christianity, we talked Aramaic and we talked the language of Christ and we were the history, and who would dare to enter our village? But ISIS entered and terrorists entered and they started to kill the Christians and they started to pull down all the cross and all the stones that had history and archaeology. And Yusuf was looking like that. Where are you, God? Where are you, Christ? How could you let them enter? We've been there since 2,000 years. And no one dared to enter our village. We're the history. And sometimes we do like that. We're Christian by name and it's enough. I go to church on a Sunday and it's enough. And the Lord allows sometimes persecution to tell you, shake, hey, hello. Christian meaning to be Christ-like, meaning to talk to people about me, meaning to show Jesus while walking. So this Yusuf was confused, talking to God, where are you? Did you leave us? You want us to be in another religion? You want us to be killed? How come? And this Yusuf said, no, I will stand in front of these terrorists and tell them, or else you kill me, or else you cannot arrive to these stones that talk about Jesus. I will be a martyr for Jesus. And these terrorists killed him. And he was dead. We cried a lot. We were so sad for Yusuf. It was very tough for us as Christians in the Middle East. We're a minority, you know, to see that we are starting to be killed. And they put his killing, you know, not him only, 18 of young men your age stood like that and said, no one can enter our village. And after the Yusuf killing, with 18 of his colleagues, ISIS entered and took over the village. And all the other village displaced, left the village for not being killed. Do you understand till now? Are you understanding me? They left the village and came down to Damascus walking. They walked about, I don't know, 10 hours or 12 hours. Under war, under bombs. And they asked in Damascus, who can open to us their houses? Some of the Damascus people said, well, we're afraid if you enter our houses, they may follow you and kill you and kill us with you. I'm talking about 300 from one village. And then we heard about them in church. We said, come to church. And all of a sudden, we see in front of our eyes 300 historical Christians, but they know nothing about Jesus. So we opened the church. They sat in this church. And we called this meeting the Yusuf meeting. Remember Yusuf? And we started to talk about Jesus is always in your heart and how you can open your heart to Jesus and how you can testify to the Lord and how you can go back and treat these terrorists as your neighbor and show them the unconditional love of your enemy. And we stayed discipling them for 1 year. And all of a sudden, their chief, the master of this village, said, we want to be back to our village. We want to take our homes back with no weapons, with nothing. We will tell them, we're the Christians, we're here, we want to open our houses to you, and we want to show you the real Christ. They became believers, very good believers. Many of them got baptized. They did their meeting in our church in Aramaic. We used to enter the church. We didn't understand what they're talking about, maybe poems or something. We didn't know. But this is how they discipled each other, and they went back to their village. And from one man who said, "Where are you, Jesus?" 300 became preachers and disciples to terrorists. So everything in this world, sometimes we ask, why God? Why? We were the first church. The first ever named church in the Bible was in Antioch, Syria. And from there, we invaded the world to Rome with the gospel. Is it okay, Esther? So why you allow us to be minority, to be persecuted, to be nothing? And he says, always the response was, do your job, I do my job. It's not... In fact, in your language, it's not of your business. Just you follow me, you serve me, you do your part, and I will be glorified because they are my people. It is my ministry. It is me who is in this story. So we have good and bad stories of persecution. But since 1997, when we put our feet in Syria, and before that, when we were in Alexandria and Jordan and Cairo and Lebanon, we did a lot of ministry in London. Always, from experience, I tell you, the ministry is his, the story is his.
Okay, we'll return back to the PowerPoint. Miss Lean talked about many things, but it's not written in the PowerPoint and in your notes. But this is real. To make it short, that's it. Anyway, so if you go to the Bible, the biblical stories or the biblical resources about persecutions is a lot. You can say the model of the persecution or the painful he faced, that Jesus. When you look at the story of Jesus from the beginning, when Mary has to deliver Jesus, he was suffering. All of his life was suffering. When he arrived to the cross, before the cross in Gethsemane, he was suffering even in his prayer. He said something like that. If you go to the Bible, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" On the cross. Jesus, as a man, he felt like God left him. When he was praying, sweating blood, because inside he has that pain. It's very strong pain in his. Exit that with blood. He's sweating. So, when you think about how Jesus was suffering in prayer with what happened with Judas, betrayal him by kiss. You know the story. When we think about Jesus, I think many of us think like, oh, this is a story we know from the beginning of when we went to the church. We heard about that. Jesus crucified for us. And we take it like any story else. But when you think, if you go back by yourself and stayed with those who shouted, cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Jesus, who healed his sicknesses, who rose their dead people, who did a lot of miracles between them, and instead to bless them, bless him and glorify him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify it, crucify him." It's very painful, suffering. But I want to say something. Before he gave up his spirit, he said, "Father, forgive to them. Forgive for them. Because they don't know what they are doing." Crucified in front of people, naked, it's very shame, you know? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Paul, we are talking about Paul a lot this conference. He also faced a lot of problems, a lot of suffering. But he remembered what Jesus said. You will face, or you will have trouble in this world. It's a promise from God. All the believers will have trouble in this world. But if you go back to the verse in John 16, 33, there is a key word before that. He said, "I have told you then these things, so that in me you may have peace." And then he said, "In this world you will have trouble." This is very important. Yes, we will have trouble a lot. But if you are in Jesus, you will have peace. Whatever you will face, it's nothing. It doesn't compare at all between the peace in you and the suffering you will face or the trouble you will face. If you go back in the Old Testament, it is a story of Joseph. And Joseph, I like this story in Genesis. If you read the story of Joseph, you will see how he was suffering from his brothers as a slave in Egypt, in prison. All his life was suffering, right? But he didn't blame God at all. At all. Read the story again and see that. He didn't blame God at all. He was there. He didn't blame God at all. Suffering doesn't mean God doesn't love you. No. He loves you. He loves me. Even the suffering we face, yes, behind that, there are a lot of blessings. Paul faced a lot of problems. If you go back and read the gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said what he faced, a lot of things. Persecution, prison, hungry, no place to sleep. Many times they beat him, stoned him once, and left him to death. A lot of suffering, a lot of persecution. But he never gave up, because he knows there is peace inside, because Jesus is inside, and he is Prince of Peace. You know, a lot of stories we can share, but I want to tell you how God uses suffering in our lives. It's very important. I remember during the earthquake recently in Syria, we faced a lot of problems. One story I want to share, there's a guy in Latakia in the coast, went there and started to help people. And I saw that young man, he was a student in college, and he lost all of his family. His parents, brothers, and even daughter-in-law, all of his family. They live in one building, and that building destroyed completely because of the earthquake. But you know what? He was studying with his friend in another area. That was his safe. So I started to share with him why God allowed you to be safe. Even your family, all of your family, died in the earthquake. He said, I don't know. He's a Muslim. I don't know. I started to share the gospel with him. And I told you, God has abundant life for you. He saved you. He suffered for you. And he knows exactly what you are feeling now. If you ask him to enter your life, you will feel that peace. Even you are suffering, you lost your family, but he is your family. He can cover that. After he prayed and received Christ, he said, you know what? This moment, I didn't feel like that before in all of my life. Even I lost my family, all of our property. But now I feel like I am in peace. My heart full of peace. Thank you so much. And he started to help with us, those who are in trouble because of the earthquake. This is amazing what God is doing, even through the persecution. If you go back to the gospel, you know, persecution for the disciples, because of the persecution in Jerusalem, the gospel spread all over the world because it was there. If it wasn't persecution in Jerusalem, the disciple wouldn't go and spread the gospel all over the world. I can say, Stephen's death in Acts inspired others to the believer, to believe. The blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. This is our area. Our church built there and spread and all over the world. Anyway, because of the time, if you want to hear more than this about the story of suffering, come and sit with us and we'll give you more and more explanation about persecution.
Well, we have a lot to say and we are so much afraid from Lincoln to say it. You still have 10 minutes, so I'm so much afraid of that. Well, you know, it's very easy to talk about suffering, and it's very hard to talk about suffering. But don't take it as story from the stories. And we go out from here feeling nothing, as if, oh, they were funny people, they barely talked English, they were good, they were bad. And we go, let's eat dinner. It's not like that. You're not here by coincidence. You're here to hear. I like it. You're here to hear that he wants you by name to go and make disciples and feel this fruitful life of being with Jesus and to Jesus. You know, many times I ask the Lord, why me, Lord? I don't have time. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to have fun in my life, you know. I want to quarrel with people and revenge and live like other societies, how they're living. Now you're telling me I need to love my enemy. I need to go and do sacrifices and, you know, and it's hard. Why me? You know why me? Because it's a privilege. This is how much he loves me to let me work with him. He said, you are working with me. He doesn't need us. He can come now in all this conference and say, hello, hey, you student, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You don't need Micheline. You don't need any one of these leaders. I'm talking you person to person. But when he uses us as leaders, as an instrument to tell you about him, he wants us to grow. He wants us to feel how much we are privileged to serve the Lord. So this conference is not about you or for you. It's for us also to trust him more, to tell you more how much he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. All the mission is about going and win people to Christ and love your enemies and go to the unreached people. So all our ministry is a challenge. But let me tell you, when you go to hard places and when you go to hard missions and you feel the hand of the Lord with you, it's a huge privilege. Suffering is the central to the gospel mission. We're not here, you know, to tell you just go. We're here to tell you go and live the fruitful life of Jesus. Take hold of your disciple and see him growing like a mother seeing her baby growing. This is how we feel towards our disciples. You tell me why you're there. I tell you because I want to feel and live like Jesus. And it's a great, great privilege in life to give all your life to Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. It's very good to live for Jesus and through Jesus and with Jesus in this life. You know what he tells us, that we're above 40, a bit coming to 50 or above a bit. Anyway, for us, what he says, the Lord will renew your youth like the cedars of Lebanon. So sometimes he let us, we in mid-age, okay, have this ambition to be like you. So dream with me. What if you give your life to Jesus and to ministry and to go in this age? Did you understand my point? It's your age, the right age today to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Because the ministry you will get, the experience you will get, you know, you will feel like a father, like a mother, like building a family, building the church. It's a wonderful decision that we felt and we took from the beginning of our life till today. I tell you, it was not easy to knock on the door of a fanatic president. It was not easy. You may be killed. I'm telling you, you may be finished. It's not a game. It's not here to show me, Micheline, how much you're crazy. You will be killed, and your children will have no mother. But we did it because we trust in him. And we know if it was not right, he will stop it. This is his story, his ministry, his film, his people. All the Middle East will be to Christ and all of America will be to Christ. And this is our dream and our belief and our faith. But how can we arrive to this if you don't do it with us? We will not stay at home when you do it. We will do it together. Dream with me. What if today or next year we see next to each one of you an American or a Chinese or an Indian student or a Thai student or a Lebanese student, or a Kuwaiti student, or a Saudi student. And I'll ask you, hey, George, who is this Muhammad next to you? You'll tell me he's my disciple. Oh. And if each one of us had this friend next to him, let's pray for that. And he'll be your child in Christ. And the year after, after the next year, I will see his disciple. So George will have Muhammad, and Muhammad will have Qinghai from China. And I will ask Muhammad, who is this Qinghai? He will tell you, well, my disciple, and George will tell me he's my grandson, and so on. Let's dream about that. God can do it. Hello? God can do it. Put me the slide. I don't like this, you know, cabaret mood. Put more light. I want to see them. I'm not seeing them. You know this cabaret mode? I don't like that. They're speaking here about next generation of witnesses. It's not a preaching thing. It's a real thing. Hello, George. By faith, we want to see next year Muhammad. And hello, Muhammad, we want to see, what's the name of the Chinese? Shanghai. Okay? And it's okay, we're fine with women, and Shanghai will bring Elizabeth from UK or whatever. And we will see, and we will see the whole world for Christ. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? So today, I don't know what is your suffering. You gained weight, maybe? Or you lost your car? Or your boyfriend left you? Or your girlfriend is arrogant and she asks always hamburger on lunch and we're paying a lot of money on it? I don't know what is your challenge. I know my challenge is with presidents and I may be cut head or something. Anyway, but we're suffering. All of us. By the way, I have hardship now. My son's wedding is in 2 weeks and I'm finding a dress and this is hardship for me. So this is suffering now. Everyone has a certain stage of suffering. But know that history is? These are my people. History is his story. And he will turn everything for the good. 3 minutes. It's his story. So let's reflect the other slide for 3 minutes. So I want you now to look at this. And I hope you take it very seriously. We talk a lot. We reflect a lot. We talk from the Bible. You hear a lot of, I know through Disciples Maker, you have Bible study, you are having fun. I know that. But now it's the time to take it seriously. Reflect on what is your suffering. This is my language. And put it in the hands of the Lord. Every one of us has his story. And say, Lord, because you gave me this suffering, I can feel with the suffering of others. And I want to share with them the grace. Remember first night we spoke about the grace. And today we spoke about the grace. I wanna share with them the grace of the Lord. I want to be your instrument. So put your weakness in his hand and let him turn this weakness to a power of dynamite of the Holy Spirit in you to go and make disciples. You know, in the Bible it says, and you shall receive power. It's in the old language, it's like dynamite. You will do an explosion of good news. And this is your age, our age. This is us in one church. This is one church to go and make disciples. So I will let's bow our heads and pray. Pray for yourself, for your relationship with the Lord, for your future, for what the Lord wants to speak to you. How many disciples you want to see next year and the year after and the year after to become a granddad of many disciples? Say, Lord, thank you because we're still in a free country and we can dream freely. Let's use this freedom to glorify you, Lord. Lord, I want to be serious in this. It's not in vain that I'm here in this hall. I want to go. I want to make disciples. I want to be an instrument of you. Jesus knows how we feel because he suffered like us. Paul suffered. All the disciples suffered, but they found their joy in the future in Christ, in having obedience in Christ. Lord Jesus, be glorified in me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.